I spent a lot of time learning about coins over the last 2 weeks. This double-sided page is probably a fraction of the number of, like, the pictures of coins that I've seen, and I still don't understand what's going on, to be perfectly honest. This is not my field of expertise. I've been just trying to figure out how we calculate how much a shekel is. You could have a whole series in halacha and history about it. We're going to do the part that's relevant to tzedakah, and we're only going to do a fraction of it because, frankly, I still don't understand so much of it. So if you if you either know something or subsequently learn something about this, please let me know.
Okay, there is a recent thing.
Yeah?
In the somewhere near the Dead Sea, the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah?
They found some rare scrolling.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
From what?
From the time of...
Okay.
And apparently they were fascinating because there were two sets.
Really?
One set was minted by the Essenes.
Okay. They made their own coins? I didn't know that.
They made their own coins.
Hmm. All right.
And there was another set that was minted by Rakofa. And then there was a third set that was minted by the Romans. That is interesting.
Interesting. Wow. Okay, so we got different sets.
I saw pictures of it. They were in something I read pretty regularly. But they... I'll think about where I saw it, but they were in... the JTA. Who has a section on archaeology.
Okay.
That's where they were.
Cool. Very interesting.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you. All right. If you see them, let me know. If you find the article, let me know. So what we're going to do today is... Yeah, also if you find the coins, give me that. That could be fun.
If I find the coins, they wouldn't let me have them.
Yeah. So... Just to sort of recap how we got onto this topic, last year we talked about the minimum amount of tzedakah, which we darshaned from a pasuk in Nehemiah, which said a third of a shekel. So unlike the other shiurim that we talked about when it came to tzedakah, either a fifth or a tenth, where it's a percentage, this is a fixed amount. So the question is, nowadays, Amir Tzashem, none of us should ever be poor enough to have to rely on that amount of tzedakah, to give that minimum amount. But what is it? And so the Shach, which we'll see at the end of the Shir, in the Shulchan Aruch on our section, references the halachos of Pidyon HaBen. Because Pidyon HaBen is one of the practical cases where we try to calculate how much money you need to give. Mm-hmm. So in this, in the handout with the Hebrew, so I gave you the tour from the beginning of Hilchos Pidyon HaBen. So the middle part is the tour. So this small print are just like headings of the topics. But if you go below that square, you have block letters. It starts with the letter Aleph. That's like Sif Aleph. Ksiv Ach Pado Tifte Esbechar HaAdam. So that's a pasuk that says that you have to redeem the firstborn of a person. Upiduyav Miben Chodesh Tifte, and you should redeem him when he's a month. Shemitzvah Saseh Al Kol Yisrael Sheyolid Lo Ben Shu Bechor Me'imo Yisraelis Bechol Makum Bechol Zman Sheyifdenu Meha Kohen Velo Me Kohena. So any firstborn that fits all of those categories, you have to redeem them from a male Kohen. Bechamisha Slaim. So that's five Slaim. That's the shear that the Gemara or that the Mishnah gives. So Rashi on that Gemara says Shehem Shtei Onkios Vechetzi, two Onkios. So what does that mean? So there's we quote the Gaonim. So the Torah quotes the Gaonim, which the Rush quotes. Uledivrei Hagaonim Mishkal, the weight of that, Elef Ucha Meos Ve'esrim Seorin Kesef. So the weight of that is 1920 grains of silver. So grains is a measurement, meaning, you know, when we talk about, like carrots or grains of either stones or metals. So the reason why we use those terms is because back in the olden days, that's what you would weigh them against. Carob seeds is where carrot comes from. When you ask, like, how many carrots is this diamond, it's weight. That means it's that's how much it weighs in carob seeds, apparently.
Based on charuvim.
Yeah, charuvim, exactly, carobs, yeah.
And then that's what we have, kort ulvona. Kort is a midaktana mod.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, the shekel, by the way, originated 3,000 years ago, was 11 seorim. I don't know how it went from 11 seorim to 3,000, but it's okay, inflation.
Yeah, so we're good. So the
inflation.
Right, so the Gemara talks about how there was a period of inflation that went on, and some of it was natural inflation, some of it Chazal decided to add on money. I don't want to do the history of the shekel because that's its own thing, but you're right. So the Mishnah in Bechoros, which is where we get all this from, it says that the shekel that we use is the Tyrian shekel, shekel tsuri. That's the first one on this sheet. So these were minted basically before the Romans took over. And once the Romans really took over, that's when they began minting their own coins. So the question is, at some point in history, so that went away. People stopped making shekel tsuri. So what do you do? So what the Gemara says is that you give the value of that, meaning you give the value of whatever that silver was. You're supposed to give the weight of the silver. So you calculate how many grams or how many seorim barley weights of silver there are in a shekel tsuri, and that's what you have to give. So according to the way Rashi arrives at his calculations, and according to the Gaonim at least, it's 1920 barley grains. Now, if you look in the right column, the Beis Yosef, in the last section, the last bolded section, he says, "Umasha kasav ledivrei hagaonim mishkal elef v'tav tav kuf chaf seorim kesef ken kasav sham harash bishmam." The Rush is the one that quotes the Gaonim. V'chein das haRambam. The Rambam also has this opinion. It's not exactly clear if the Rambam has that exact opinion, but it's around that. Uledivreihem, and according to that, the Beis Yosef said, "Ola kuf chaf ma'im." 120 ma'a comes out to be shehem shloshim dramim kesef mizukak. Comes out to 30 dramim. So how much is a dirham? Or what is a dirham? So let me share the screen so people can see all the pictures, because it's kind of important over here. So in the second one, you have a picture of a 9th century dirham. So the Gaonim lived around the period of the 9th century, 10th century, 8th century. That was during the reign of Islam. So that's why you can see, I forget if this is from, this may be from Egypt, it may be from somewhere in the Arabian Peninsula, probably the Arabian Peninsula if we're talking 8th century. Dirham, though, actually goes back many hundreds of years beforehand. Dirham comes from the word drachma, the Greek word drachma. And so the Byzantines were the ones that were minting silver coins, drachmas. And when the Islamic caliphates took over and they minted their own coins, the Arabized language and version became a dirham. And the dirham lasted for hundreds and hundreds of years. As we'll see, in Ashkenaz, in Europe, coins changed very rapidly. And there were different weights and different conversions. The dirham was fairly standard up until the modern era. Like, even into like the 19th century, the dirham still existed. Nowadays, it also exists. It's the official currency. I don't know what that is. It's the official currency of several Arab countries. It's a different coin now, but the dirham lasted for hundreds of years, actually for thousands of years. And so when modern Sfardim came to Israel to talk about how much that is, so there were slightly different opinions. As you can see, there was different opinions between 3.2 to 3.6 grams. Rav Avadya Yosef said one thing, Rav Yosef Kafach said another thing. They all had different opinions, and honestly, they're probably all correct, because A, how much are barleys? Well, it depends. It depends how good of a crop you have. If there's a lot of moisture, maybe they're a little bit more bloated. If not, they're not. When you're weighing coins, when you're weighing silver coins, so yeah, we believe that during the time when we didn't have fiat money, when we actually had like silver and gold worth stuff in the actual coins, so it said there's X amount of ounces or X amount of grams of that metal in the coin. But we all know that after time, metal abrades, it wears off. So there's usually a little bit less. So to go from 3.2 to 3.6, there's a range, and especially in the olden days when even though you had mints, you had minting techniques and apparatuses, not every coin weighed the same amount.
No, but this is a lot of money. This is over 10%.
Correct. Right. So I'm not saying that every opinion works out together. What I'm saying is that over the centuries, meaning you started off with one or two dirhams hundreds and hundreds of years ago, over time, even though it was kind of pegged at the original same thing, it began to deviate a little bit. No, you don't think so?
What you see here, I think, because I don't know anything about a dirham. I do know something about currency.
Okay.
There's a lot of debasement going on.
Yeah, no, but we're not talking about, I don't think there was a history of diluting the metal content of the...
Of course.
Of the dirham. I don't know if there was.
I don't know about dirham, but I can tell you about the Roman currency.
Yes, Roman currency was
constantly.
Yeah. And the same thing with the European ones. That's why they kept on going through all the changes. So it could be. I'm not an expert. When I looked online, I did not see significant dilution of the dirham coins. But regardless, there are different opinions. So right now, if you ask a Sephardi how much you're supposed to give for Pidyon HaBen, so let's take a look. So if you have, so 30 times 3.2 is what?
9.6.
30 times,
oh no. What do you want? Is 99?
That's right.
30 times 3.2 is 96.
Yeah.
So that is the minimum shear that people give, 96 grams of silver. Some people, for various halachic positions, and some are machmir for the higher shitas, will give up to 101. So that's kind of the range. 96 to 101 grams of silver are what Sfardim will give for Pidyon HaBen, and Ashkenazim do too. So even Ashkenazim accept this shear. Now the Beis Yosef was a Sephardi. The Beis Yosef lived in the Middle East. He was exposed to all of this stuff. So what about Ashkenazim? What's the history of Ashkenazi currency? So if you look at the page of the tour again, so if you go down right below the tour, you have the Darkei Moshe. Let me see if I can share this with them as well. Okay, we'll close this. So if you go down to the Darkei Moshe, in Os Aleph, he says, Dehainu, kol shekel shin pei dalet seorim. Kesef, every shekel is 384 grains of silver. V'chein hu b'mordechai b'hagos sof ksubis. And so it says in the Mordechai, in the Hagos, at the end of Maseches Ksubis. Now, contrary to what the name sounds like,
I don't know anybody. Well, yeah, can I help you?
Oh, okay. So contrary, though, to what the name sounds like, the Hagos of the Mordechai were not written by the Mordechai. So the same thing is by the Hagos Ashri. The Hagos to, on the Rush were not written by the Rush. They were written by someone else. So the Mordechai was written by by a 13th century by a 14th century Tosfos. They were everything okay?
He's talking to
Oh, okay. They were written by a 14th century Bali Tosfos, German.
Who's that?
The Mordechai?
Oh, the Mordechai.
Yeah, the Mordechai. It was a 14th century Bali Tosfos. He wrote halachos. He was one of the great collectors of German halacha for the previous 200, 300 years. The Bali Tosfos lived primarily in France, and every so often there would be a Talmud that would go from Germany to France, learn a lot, and then come back and start a base medrash in Germany. So one of the great collectors of the German history of Tosfos and Halacha was the Mordechai. The Mordechai was killed al Kiddush Hashem. The Mordechai was murdered in a Christian pogrom. And a lot of the Svarim that he wrote were actually published posthumously by his students. And his students wrote some of these Hagos. So the Hagos Mordechai is was written by a person named Shmuel ben Aaron. Shmuel ben Aaron of Schlettestadt, 14th century Germany. He's very interesting. I don't know much about him. He is interesting is that he was a Rav in a city in Germany, got into a fight, was basically kicked out of town and put in Cheram by the community because he got into the fight. He went to... went east to the lands of, like, to the Middle East and got letters from Chachamim, from Sfardi Chachamim to essentially bolster him, and he came back and he essentially was victorious and regained control of the rabbinate until the community was once again wiped out. So, unfortunately, this was not, you know, this was a very common occurrence to have people being killed al Kiddush Hashem. But this Hagos Mordechai, he writes, continuing in the Darkei Moshe, he says, V'kasav sham, so the Hagos Mordechai writes, V'shikleinu, our coins, not shekel, they didn't have a shekel then, V'shikleinu dukat chadash, mimatbeya Venezia, our shekel, the new dukat, from the coins of Venice, V'haya memches seoros, are 48 grains of barley. Nimsa mishkal heislam heim mem dukat shel Venezia. And so what comes out then, he says, is that the weight of 5 slam that you need for pidyon haben is 40 dukat of Venezia. So what is he talking about? So if you look we'll go back to the other one. If you go back to the coin page, so this is a 15th century, it's a little bit later, it's 100 years later, but it's very similar to the Ducat of Venice that the Hagos Mordechai had. So the history of coins in Venice and in all of the Italian states is that the Italian peninsula had a lot of city-states that became, in the Renaissance time, very, very financially and politically powerful because of all their merchant activities. So initially, they didn't have their own coins, or the coins they minted were based on Byzantine coins. And that's where they did a lot of their business. They would sail to Greece. They would sail to Turkey. They would sail all over the Mediterranean. So a lot of their business took them into the Byzantine Empire. So they followed Byzantine coins. However, like you were saying, the Byzantines diluted their currency. They debased it. They devalued it. And so eventually they got the idea to mint their own coins, which were called the Ducat. So this started in the late 13th century. They weighed approximately 3.545 grams of silver, of gold rather. So the Mordechai, the Hagos Mordechai says that our shekel, our coin, the Dukat Chadash, this new Dukat, you know, again, it's probably, he's probably, it's like, you know, just under 100 years into its tenure. So for them, that was new. This new Dukat is 48 Saaros of metal. So therefore, 40 of them is what you need for Pidyon HaBen. So now let's do the math.
Switch from silver to
gold. Ah, okay. I was wondering if you guys. I didn't want to say it explicitly because I was wondering if you guys were going to pick it up. Yeah, that's where I'm. I am the most confused right now. I told you this is a middle. You know, I'm in the middle of developing this idea. I'm looking into the subject. This is a standalone shir. So, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to move on to Meister next week. But in terms of calculating, the biggest challenge for me is that it seems like gold and silver are used interchangeably when it comes to Ashkenazim, and I don't understand why. It seems to be, and it starts with the Mordechai. It starts with the Agos Mordechai that he seems to equate weights and not the type of money. Everybody else just sort of follows based on whatever the Hagos Mordechai writes, meaning they're all trying to, what we'll see from now going forward in Ashkenazi literature, is trying to calculate what the Dukat basically equals in their currency. But the Hagos Mordechai seems, at least to me, to be just equating barley, you know, Sa'aros and Sa'aros, just equating grain as opposed to the type of metal. I'm not sure. We'll keep reading. I'll show you the sources, and we'll see where it goes.
There's a perek in Bava Metzia, Hazav, and Hazav is gold and silver, and it's not.
I know. Again,
not equal.
Right. So again, I don't think the Hagos Mordechai was stupid over here. He's clearly a very smart and knowledgeable person, and he knew what his economy was. He lived that time, so I'm missing something, or he may have had a very different shita. Now you'll see that he said vishiklenu dukat chadash. So beforehand, what existed? So they had the Byzantine coins, but before that point, they also minted silver coins. Before they minted the golden ducats, Venice and all the other Italian city states minted silver coins. They were called the grossos, which is similar to what we'll see later, the Polish grois, or the Yiddish, you know, a groiser, which means either big or thick. So those were like a smaller type of currency. So again, maybe he's like back calculating it in his mind to those silver coins. I don't know. But regardless, let's keep reading what the Agos Mordechai says, and we'll take it from there. So what did he say? He said that it's 40 of these coins. So now let's calculate grams, right? So what's 40 times around 3.5?
40 around 3.5.
140.
What did you say, 140?
No. Yep.
I know what it is.
I'm sorry?
35 times 4. It's
140. Yeah, okay, so it's around 140. So 140 grams of gold is very different than 96 grams of silver.
Right.
Very, very different. Nobody, you know, what's the price of gold now? I think I looked it up beforehand.
I saw yesterday it was $2,100.
$2,100 per what?
Dollars per ounce.
Per ounce, okay, so let me see.
$2,100.
Yeah, it went up over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, went up, okay.
Collecting them? No, I have a stock called GLD.
Oh, okay. So it's exponentially more.
Oh, yeah.
$2,100 an ounce is many, many, many times more than silver, and nobody does that. So as you'll see, again, I think the Ashkenazi position is totally untenable. The question is where he got that from. But let's keep going.
Let's do it another way.
Oh. Okay.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah. We moved a lot now. Okay, FDR, yeah.
FDR. Made gold worth, was it, 38.75, something like that, an ounce.
Okay.
And that was in the United States for many years.
That was the gold standard.
Until Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard.
Oh,
right.
Richard Nixon.
And now it's got all kinds of different values.
Yeah. Again, I do agree that the price of gold may fluctuate more now than it would have before. But nobody is choshesh for this opinion. Nobody is choshesh for this. Let's continue now. And he says, Ubepiske Maharai, and then he also quotes the Mahari, it should be Maharil. So the Maharil was a contemporary or close contemporary of the Hagos Mordechai. His name was Yaakov ben Moshe Levi of Molin in Germany. So the Maharil, also one of the great repositories of German Minhagim and Halacha. So he evaluated this amount, Shir Be'erech Shnei Zehuvim Reinish.
Oh boy.
Two golden Reinish coins. So what's that? So now it's a, if you look at that, it goes to, one second here, the Reinish Golden. So the Reinish Golden or Reinish Gilder was a gold standard currency of the Rhineland in Germany in the 14th and 15th centuries. They weighed between 3.4 and 3.8 grams. So this is a pretty faithful measurement or equation to the golden ducats. Right, so the Maharil and all of the other German poskim follow this idea of the Hagos Mordechai. They took this Italian currency, and when the Rhineland started minting their own golden coins, it was a very pretty close one-to-one ratio. So what did they do? They just said it's the same thing. So
he says only two.
Correct.
Which is a lot less than the...
No, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. I mixed that up. I'm sorry. No, you're right. I made a mistake. That's what I was going to say. Over here, he says, Shehu be'erech shnei zehuvim reinish. The equivalent is what the Rama is going to say later. The Rama says it's equivalent to two Polish golden zlotys. But over here, you're 100% right, Eugene. He just jumped from, or jumped back from 40 to 2. So what happened there? So if you look back at the, I'm sorry for the people on the screen that we keep going back and forth to the two different pages, but if you look back one line up in the Darkei Moshe, the letter Mem is in brackets. Without it, it would be Dukat. It would be one. So it's a little bit, it's double, but it's not 40.
Right.
So what's going on? If you see, there's a footnote Vav. So if you go down to the footnote Vav, in the very bottom, it says Hagos Va'aro. So it says Bidarkei Moshe Shebekisvei Yad. In the manuscripts that we have of the Rama, Hagirsa Nimtza Heislam Heim Dukat Shalvenetzia. It doesn't have 40. Uba'orach Mishar Shebidarkei Moshe Nitvas Higia V'Nimtza Mishkal Chamei Shlam Heim Mem Dukat. So there seems to have been a typo that crept up. Now, why would he change it to 40? Because what did he write before? He wrote before v'hayamem chesaros. So he's doing the math, meaning the what's it called? The Orach Mishar, who's correcting this text, he says, look, the text that I have says it's worth one dukat, but if you look at his math beforehand, that doesn't make sense. It should be around 40. So therefore, he adds in the letter mem, but none of the manuscripts have it. Ubidarkei Moshe hakotzer hagirsa mem dukat. So in this other version of the Darkei Moshe, they do have that. Va'anu kosvin mem bisograyim irubos. We put it in brackets. De'eno bidarkei Moshe hanitfas ve'eno bidarkei Moshe shebekisveyad. So there seems to be, so there are so many complicating factors, both historical and textual, that lead to this mess in Ashkenazi halachic literature about how you calculate it. So first of all, the Hagos Mordechai seems to equate grains of gold and grains of silver. And then we have this weird math that doesn't seem to work out with the actual manuscripts that we have, so much so that people altered the manuscripts to correct for the math about transferring it over to German coins. But now, once we get into Germany, now it gets a little bit easier. So if you look in the Prisha, so right below the Darkei Moshe is the Prisha. So the Prisha also wrote another very important commentary called the Sma. The Sma is one of the primary commentaries to the section Choshen Mishpat on Shulchan Aruch.
He was an Achron.
Yes, the Sma was in Achron. So the Sma, his name was Yehoshua ben Alexander HaKohen. He was a Kohen. So the Sma wrote a commentary to Choshen Mishpat and Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote a commentary to the entire tour. So if you look in Os Beis, in the Prisha, in the letter Beis, it's four lines down on the right column. He says, "B'chamisha slam u'maril shir shehu be'erech shnei zehuvim reinish." So the Maril, as we said, estimated that it's around two golden coins. The Kasav Rama, and the Rama writes in the Shulchan Aruch, "Shehu shnei zehuvim polish." So the Rama says that this is equivalent to two Polish coins. So let's see what the Polish coins look like. Turn the page. Hold on.
Let me... But what I don't understand with all this here, and
yeah,
I thought it has to, the number five has to be someplace.
Ah, that, so the number, so you're asking about how come, you know, what's the minhag for five? So there's a whole, Minhatorah, what did we say? Minhatorah, we said it has to be weight. Minhatorah, we said you have to give the value of the weight of five silver shkalim. So you're right, there is a custom to give five coins. So there is a minhag based on a shita that if the coins that we have nowadays are bigger or worth more than what they had back then, you have to give five of those coins. So our dollars, our silver dollars, so, you know, we're working in how much silver is in a silver dollar? It was an ounce, I think, right?
I don't know. I think it depends on when they were minted.
Oh, it changed?
It depends on when they were minted.
That's right.
And depends on the price of silver.
Okay, but well, it depends on the price of silver. But nowadays, I think it's, if you buy a silver dollar, it's
a lot of money.
I don't know, I was just told when I did a figure in a bend that I used 11 silver dollars.
Okay, so now, okay, well, wait, 11?
11.
That's a lot, actually.
That's a lot of money. Okay, you had somebody inflate that price.
Because the current silver dollars, okay.
That's right. They don't
have that much silver.
That's correct.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, again, I'm completely off then. All right.
Okay.
I was
a big difference in it.
My father-in-law, Jacob Rosetti,
okay.
Now you're
going to
show you
how. I was very careful about this because it's the only thing other than Duchling and Coin.
Yeah, it's the only Mitzvah Doraisa, yeah.
Yeah, so what did he kept. Five silver dollars.
Right. Okay. That's what I.
I still have some too.
Right. That's what I always thought was that if you want to be machmir, you give five silver dollars, even though the silver dollars have way more silver in it than five shkalim did.
Not now. The government made silver dollars.
90% silver.
What's that?
Okay, and it has. But look how many. Look how many grams it has.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what. Wait, 11? No, but you get. A silver dollar nowadays has 26.73 grams, and 90% of that is silver. Okay? So 90% of that is around 24, 25 grams of silver.
Right.
And our minhag is to give 96 to 101. So that's around 5 to 6 coins. I don't know where the 11 comes from. Maybe there was like a processing fee that they attached to it. I don't know. But regardless, there is a shita out there that if the coins that the state uses, the standard coin that the state uses is bigger than the shekel, you got to give five of those big ones. Okay. So that's where that may have come from as well. Regardless, though, the Rama is talking about Zehuvim Polish. So this is, if you turn the page, this is the Polish Zlota. So the Polish Zlota was minted around the time that the Rama lived. And it was, once again, around 3.5 grams of gold. All of these are based, you know, all of these coins in Central Europe were basically minted around using the same model based off of the Italian ones. And so they were all around 3.5 grams of gold. So the Rama does the conversion pretty easily between the German and the Polish coins, which made sense because before Poland started minting its own coins, it always used the German ones. Now, the Sma, the Prisha himself, is the one who complicates things. So the Sma, if you look at the Sma, he continues by saying in the parentheses, he says, Ayin b'sma b'choshin mishpat simin peiches, ma shekosav Adoni Ovizal, umetama shelefi acheshban shekosav Rabbeinu Sham v'kan, ein sagi b'zmaneinu pidyon haben b'shnei zehuvim. So he says, if you do the math, it doesn't work out. It should be a lot more. V'nira, she'af lefi ma'arai b'psakov, simin memches, u'ma'aril shashiru pidyon haben b'erech shtei zehuvim, lo yia pachos me'erech, Aleph Reinish Taylor, Ushne Shlishe Reinish Taylor, Kvishahaya Bismanehem, Hathaler Baad, Ayan Bez Karton or Kratzen, Shehu Lamedov Gedolim, Polish, which is Groysen, Ad Kana Magia. So the Sma adds in his commentary that he has this opinion that you have to adjust for inflation. You have to, or I guess, the devaluation of currency. During that time, currency, Poland especially, but even in the Holy Roman Empire, currency became diluted and restandardized every couple of decades. So the Shach, based on the Sma, he runs some numbers, and he says it actually, it's not two gold coins, it's five gold coins now, because the ratio of gold in those coins is actually less. Okay.
He was right. 11 coins.
Yeah, it's 11 coins, but that's Polish zlotys in gold. but yes, maybe that's where you got it from. So okay, if we stop over here, we now have, according to the Sma, which the Shach accepts la halacha, that it is five gold coins, which is 1 2/3 of German thalers. So the German thalers are the next coins over here. And this will be the last coin that we'll talk about, I promise. So the Shach lived in the 17th century, and during the 15th and 16th century, there was a lot of political change when a lot of coins were remade. So he argues that this is kind of the standard that we have to use, the silver thaler. So the thaler is one of the large silver coins minted in the states and territories of the Holy Roman Empire and the Habsburg monarchy, and it weighs about 25 to 30 grams of silver. So while the first standard coin of the Holy Roman Empire was the golden coin, the Golden Groschen of 1524, its longest-lived coin was the Reichsthaler, which was 1/9 of a mark of fine silver, and that's what the thaler is. So now let us see the Shach. So the Shach is going to talk about the all of these calculations. So in the Shulchan Aruch we said what? That a person is supposed to give a minimum of a third of a shekel. So the Shach says, V'hu shtus ukiya shel kesef tur. So the tur paskin that this is a sixth of an ukiya of kesef. V'hainu l'masha kasav. Lekamon reish simin shin hey dehainu hey shkolim hainu shtei ukios v'chetzi l'Rashi. This is 2.5 ukios according to Rashi. Ulemashakosav harav sham, and according to what the Rama writes, shehu be'erech shnei zuhuvim reinish of two reinish guldener v'kosav ba'gos drisha dehainu hey zuhuvim bizman azen. The drisha, the sma, adds that it's actually five now. Im kain hashekel hu shlish reinish thaler. So according to the Shach's calculations of the conversion rate between a Polish zlota and a German thaler, it's a third. A shekel is a third of a reinish thaler. V'hainu zov Polish, which he says is actually a standard Polish zlota. It's confusing because there are actually two Polish zlotas. There was the silver Polish zlota and what was known as a red zlota, which was actually made of gold. V'im kain Chiyuv Hatzdaka Hu Asara Gidolim Polish. It's 30 Polish groschen. So, what does that mean nowadays?
30 Polish what?
Groschen, yeah. So, what did he say? A shekel was a third of a thaler. Okay, so what's a third of a thaler? A thaler, we said, was around 30 grams. So, a third of that is 10 grams of silver. So 10 grams of silver. Okay, so according to the psak of the Shach, which is essentially the end of... one second.
How are you, Wolfram? How are you?
Okay. So if we take those calculations now and compare it to the Sfardim, right? So this is the end of, I would say, early modern Ashkenazi psak. So how many grams is it? It's about 10 grams. A shekel is around 10 grams of silver. Now, how much is a fifth of Pidyon HaBen? Right, we said Pidyon HaBen is around 100 grams of silver, and that's 5 shekelim, so a fifth of that is around 20 grams. So it comes out that the Ashkenazi shear is 10 shekel, is half the amount of the Sephardi shear. And so since we follow the Sephardi shear for Pidyon HaBen, we should be following the Sephardi shear for Tzedaka as well. And my point for all of this is to show how complicated the Ashkenazi process was. And the Sephardim, it was just like, yeah, it's 3.2, 3.6. There's a little bit of variation. You said up to a 10% variation. But because the currency stayed so stable, then we don't really have many sfeikas. So now, the price of silver, I checked, was around... Let me just make sure I'm saying it correctly, because I should. Silver per gram is... Price per gram is... Yeah, it's about 75 cents. So a third of a shekel is what? How many grams in a shekel? We said 20 grams. So it's around 6.5 grams of silver. So 6 times 0.75 is $4.50. So the minimum shear of tzedaka, according to Sfardim and the way Ashkenazim paskin now that you have to give a year, even if you're an ani, is around $5. $4.50 to $5. If you want to follow the Shach, it's half of that. Following the Shach, it's approximately $2, $3, $2.50, $3. Mitzvah Shem, nobody should have to rely on that. We should all be zochet to have much more. So the question, though, that I want to at least begin to leave you with is, where was the Mordechai coming from? The Hagos Mordechai coming from? The one who started this whole problem was the Hagos Mordechai. The Hagos Mordechai seemed, and again, I mentioned he went east, so he seemed to have exposure to the dirham, and he got the weight right. He got the weight right. It's around 3.5 grams. But how did he just automatically transfer that over to 3.5 grams of gold? So you could say that he's going like that shita of the of that minhag that we said of giving 5 coins, where if the coin is bigger than the shekel, you got to go by that coin. That comes from a Gemara in Bechoros. The Gemara in Bechoros says that at some point they added value to the shekel. The Chachamim said you need to give more for a machzis ha-shekel. And the Chazon Ish, that's why I have it over here, the Chazon Ish, he has it in very complicated Hebrew. But he basically asks, did they add it because the government devalued currency? Or did they add it on just simply because they felt like adding on?
What do you mean they felt like adding on?
Yeah, so I'll read it. Yeshli hestapek. I'm a supak. I have to think. E hai hosafa. If this addition, hainu haskama sanhedrin ochachme hadar, was a decision made by the chacham, and lachshav es hashekel le'inyan kol dine Torah mishkel yoser gadol, just to unilaterally add on value to any money requirements that the Torah gave. V'afsha hamalchus lo shansa es hashekel. V'hamadbeya b'medina lo nishtana. Nothing changed. Is it just that Chazal said, look, we have to add on value? Oh, hayosaf v'haynu hagdolas hamadbeya b'medina. V'zeh mechayev l'achshav v'sasheke l'inyan dinei ha-Torah b'shir gadol. Or, because the Malchus essentially changed what their coins were worth, and so therefore we had to adjust them. So we had to recalculate things. And according to this, it would sound like then that if money went back to its original worth, so all of those amounts that Chazal gave should also go back. And the Mishnah meant something else. But what do we know? We know that we're talking about a fixed amount of weight. And that doesn't change anymore. Right? Throughout history, the same amount of weight has remained constant. And so if that's the case, the Chazon Ish posits that Chazal just decided we want to up the amount. Why they decided to do that, look in the Gemara. The Gemara gives a whole rationale, gives a whole explanation for it. But it could be that according to the Hagos Mordechai thought, not that just like the Chachamim in his age decided to add on more, but we go by the weight. And if you go by the weight, then you look at what the currency is used. If nobody uses silver coins over here, if silver is not a tenable metal, so we go by the weight. The weight has been fixed for generations and generations and generations. And so we'll go by the weight in whatever currency we have. And so therefore, he's stuck with gold. Now again, I don't like that answer. That doesn't work for me because, as you mentioned, in Perek Hazav, in Bava Metzia, it's very clear that gold and silver work differently. And we know that the Venetians had or used silver coins. It just wasn't their primary currency. So they had silver that they could use, and they had silver that was used. So I'm leaving this honestly with a big tzarech iyun. If you want a justification, maybe that's where he's coming from. But this is why we don't accept it.
So according to the Mordechai, can we use platinum?
If platinum
is much more expensive,
right? So if platinum was really the only currency, the primary currency that was used, and now we have fiat money, so you know none of this matters. But in an economy that was based on platinum, it could be that the Mordechai would say you got to use that that weight calculated in platinum because that's the metal that's used. Again, it's a big chiddush. It would be a fortune. You'd be a very wealthy kohanim. And you'd have to give a lot of tzedakah. But maybe an economy that's based in platinum, maybe everybody's wealthy then. I don't know. But it's a big question. I've tried to find people that try to explain it. And for the most part, they don't. And that's why we rely on the Sfardim. But if you had to justify the Ashkenazi or the ancient Ashkenazi position, maybe it's in line or similar to what the Chazon Ish is positing. The Chazon Ish, again, doesn't take it to that extent. The Chazon Ish says we go by the weight in silver. But it could be that the Mordechai said we take a fixed weight, and whatever currency is being used, that's what we calculate the weight in. So thank you all. I'm sorry if this was a little too technical for people, but I kind of want to just show just where everyone's coming from, as well as the minimum shear of tzedakah, even according to the most machmir shita, the highest shita is just under $5 nowadays. And so if there's a mitzvah of chinuch, so have chinuch for your children or for grandchildren, you should make sure that within a year they give at least $5 to tzedakah. That's also a nafkamina that we can have. And Yetz Hashem, next week we'll start with Meiser.
In Yom Diyoma.
Yeah. Oh.
We're coming.
Machtis Hashakel. So Machtis Hashakel. Right, I forgot about Machtis Hashakel. So Machtis Hashakel, we also follow the Sfardi position. If you want to give the weight of silver, so what did we say a shekel was? A shekel was approximately, we said is around $5, so around $15. So a half of that is around $7.50. So if you want to give the most, if you want to give tzedakah like the minog, according to the weight, you should give around $7.50. Now, most people don't do that.
No, you give a dollar a plate.
Okay, right, what do people do? You
they
have
pick up, they pick up the coin that's in the plate, and in exchange they put in their own money.
Right. Now, so what? How many coins are there?
There are five.
Right. So some says
no,
right.
No, I haven't seen all these five.
No.
So some say five. Some have.
I've seen three already.
Some have three.
Yeah, I saw one.
And some do one. And so the reason is because Machzis HaShekel is a totally different set of halachos. The minhag of Machzis HaShekel may not actually have to do with the weight. It may actually have to do with what is a half of the currency. So the currency is a dollar. So I give a half of that. So where does the three come from? Where does the five come from? There's all these different chumras, but they're all have nothing to do with weight. So Machzis HaShekel is a totally different ball game. It's a good question, and it's in Yonah Dioma. But you're 100% right. If you follow what we're saying right now, you should have to give like $7 or $8, which nobody does. I mean, you can always give tzedakah, but the amount of Machzis HaShekels that you're putting in is not $7.50. Rather, it's either one or three or five. However you get to that, it's based on a half of whatever the standard currency is.
Yeah.
You look dissatisfied.
Perplexed.
Not dissatisfied and not perplexed.
Okay.
It's I come from a world where if you trade, you know what the value is.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I do want to highlight that all of these Rishonim and Achronim also thought they knew what the value was.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that they're guessing. They really thought they knew.
No, value changes.
And value changes. And you saw that the Sma and the Sma and the Shach both accounted for inflation or the devaluation of currency.
Yeah.
So they did that. The problem is that at one point in history, the Ashkenazi and Sephardi positions completely diverged. And we're still trying to figure out why. All right. Have a wonderful week.
I had a...
You too.
Thank you, Rabbi.
My pleasure. Take care.
I had a Hebrew professor in college.
Uh-huh.
And he claims to have seen manuscripts from the Radak